I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. 16 years after his indictment as a war criminal, Ratko Mladic appeared in court today in the Serbian capital, Belgrade. He was looking rather frail in a baseball cap, a far cry from his trademark colonel's hat. Authorities arrested the former Serbian military leader before sunrise this morning in a village 60 miles outside Belgrade. There was jubilation at the news and relief, especially in Srebrenica, as the town in Bosnia where Mladic's Serbian forces singled out the civilian men and boys and slaughtered them. It was Europe's worst massacre in generations, a genocide that recalled the dark days of the Holocaust. Kada Hotic called today's arrest better late than never. She is a former resident of Srebrenica.
Kad sam videla Mladića u Potočarima, kad je naredio svojim Srbima,
I saw Mladic tell his men, "This is your chance. Use it. You won't get another one like this."
U toj šansi koju su oni vidjeli tada, moj sin, moje dijete, moj muž, moja braća.
That chance meant my son, my child, my husband, my brothers, and many of our people ended up dead. And who knows how much they suffered.
President Obama was among the many world leaders today to congratulate the Serbian government. We're going to have a report from Serbia in a few minutes. Mladic himself evaded justice longer than Osama bin Laden did. But after September 11, 2001, Mladic's notoriety faded. We have this reminder.
General Ratko Mladic was intimidating. He was brutal. I remember asking him a question, and he spat something back at me so much that I really felt reluctant to ask again. And he was someone who, even in an interview circumstance, was so scary. I can only imagine when he was actually conducting the armies.
That's Laura Silber, who covered nearly all of the 1990s wars in the Balkans for the Financial Times. She also co-authored the book Yugoslavia, The Death of a Nation. She's now in New York. Under what circumstances did you meet Ratko Mladic?
I met him in Pale. That was the Serb-held capital of Bosnia. This was in the war. They had seized this area right on the hilltops above Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia. And there he was. It was during peace talks that were aimed at ending the war. Of course, the war didn't end for 3 years.
And tell us more about the kind of man that he was as commander of the Bosnian Serb military, because I think for the generation that has grown up since the Bosnian War, there is some uncertainty as to what role this man played and to just how bad the war and the atrocities around it were.
I think Mladic was a man who was brutal, who was also someone, though, who considered himself a military professional. And frankly, he instilled loyalty in his troops. People saw him as someone who was standing up for what they perceived as the rights of Serbs, someone who would say no to the United States or the European community. So someone who was really willing to fight for them. And they were willing to be either blindsided or not see the terrible crimes that were being committed in their names and that he was actually waging.
He was waging in what way? I mean, how was he? What was his personal responsibility, if there is any that is absolutely known for the war crimes that took place?
I believe he has personal responsibility for what happened in the town of Srebrenica. Under his command, he was present. But he was also present at many other massacres, at many other sites, and he was commanding the Bosnian Serb forces throughout Bosnia during the wars from 1992, when hundreds of thousands of people were driven from their homes, when more than 100,000 people were killed, when lives were turned upside down, and he was the man at the helm of the Bosnian Serb forces.
What would have been his motivation?
I think his motivation was, frankly, the idea of ethnic cleansing, the idea of carving out territory for the Serbs to form a Serbia, a greater Serbia. This was at a time when Yugoslavia, a country that used to be much bigger, that doesn't exist anymore, was falling apart.
Could he have prevented the atrocities?
Of course he could have prevented the atrocities. Not that he could have prevented every atrocity, but he executed. He was there ordering the atrocities. He was the one in command. It was a command structure that every single witness at The Hague has really attested to the fact that he had command and control. And I think that the case against him will, for Srebrenica, but also for other crimes in Bosnia, I think it's pretty tight.
So if it's a tight case against him, how is it that he's been able to stay on the lam for so long?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's because, first of all, he was in hiding, supposedly in a village in northern Serbia. But I think more importantly, it's a question also of political will. When he was located, at some point he must have been located. There have been sightings of him over the years, or at least alleged sightings. So I think it took a question of political will, of the ability to take the arrest, and really a consensus on the part of the Serbian government to make the arrest, to order the arrest from the security forces.
So what does the arrest mean? I mean, it's the arrest of one man, but in the bigger picture, how would you characterize it?
Well, this arrest means a lot. Of course, it came too late. It should have come earlier. But I think it means a lot for Serbia to be able to close the chapter of the war, to begin the process of real talks for integration within the European Union, and also for Serbia to come to terms with the crimes that were committed in the names of Serbs, the crimes that many people either don't know or know and don't want to come to terms with. So this is an important, I think, symbolic and also actual development in the process of a more complete reconciliation.
I'm sure that you have met a lot of the victims and the families of victims. Is there one story that stands out most in your mind?
I think it's the collective story, the story of these people seeing the men and boys of this town, these people who had been under siege for 3 years, finally to be overrun by the Bosnian Serb forces with General Ratko Mladic and their lives being destroyed. And that now these people, later on, and obviously very late, and I'm sure that we will hear people saying, why did it have to happen so long? But the fact is that they can see that the person who is most responsible for these crimes, for them, finally seeing justice.
Laura Silber co-authored Yugoslavia, The Death of a Nation. She's now senior policy advisor at the Open Society Foundations. Laura Silber, thank you.
Thank you.